ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, August 17th, 2018. Dwayne Mullins with myself, Kevin Larame. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning.
So, we're going to talk about the weekend. It's the weekend preview. We'll talk about a bit of a news segment as well. A very good Canadian player is ripping the Belgium League as we speak, the Jupiter League. But before all that, this weekend, make sure if you have SiriusXM, you listen to Canada Talks on Canada FC on Canada Talks Channel 167. All weekend long, starting today, the show with Aaron Papernick, co-hosted by yours truly this week. I was able to co-host with Aaron Papernick, and it was really a fun time. If you want to hear my thoughts about Toronto and how Jonathan Osorio is one of the superstars of Toronto that they need to keep. And when I say Toronto, I don't just mean TFC. I mean the entirety of the sports entities in Toronto. Rarely do you have a star in the Toronto area that is from the area and that can stay there long term. So I'm excited about this show, and I hope you guys can listen to it.
Absolutely. It's always a worthwhile show to listen to, for sure. I've co-hosted it before. I hope you enjoyed doing that. Aaron's a good guy. He sits beside me in the press box.
Yep, and he was beside me in 2016 in the frigid MLS Cup outside, both freezing our you-know-what. I'm still a bit numb from that day. But let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about the future. This weekend, MLS. A few interesting games for the standings in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. Let's start with Saturday's game, Philly NYCFC, tomorrow at 7 p.m., Dwayne, if Philly wins 33 points, they continue on their ways to maybe get a playoff spot. But if any team, and when I say any team, I mean either Philly or Montreal, slip, they need to look back because DC's coming, and DC's coming pretty fast.
Certainly, yeah, they're the team below the red line that has the most consecutive wins right now, and obviously those games in hand are looming large, particularly since they're mostly at home. So absolutely, I think that until Toronto is officially eliminated, there's always going to be a hint of that as well. But certainly any of those teams above the red lines and around the red line cannot be particularly satisfied right now. Philadelphia is the one. This is going to sound dumb, but I actually, when I look at those teams that are from 5 to 10, basically, because I'm not excluding anyone yet, because they're all within 8 points, right? So 7 points. So it's anyone's really in the mix now. The one that I think is most safe to make the playoffs in my mind is Philly, but I also think that Philly is the one of all those teams that, well, maybe not all of those teams, but of many of those teams, is the one that I wouldn't pick much higher than having one game and out, though. So, you know, it's a kind of a false victory. And so in many ways you might make the playoffs, but I don't think you're going to contend for much. But then again, Philly is in the U.S. Open Cup final, and that is an accomplishment for them. And if they could do that and make the playoffs, then maybe Jim Curtin, maybe we've been too quick to fire him 16 times.
Well, every single year when it starts, I'm always like, we do a prediction show, who's going to be on the hot seat? And the easy choice is, well, Jim Curtin. And he survives. So that's good for him. He finds a way to survive. And that's a survivor's world anyway. So good for Jim Curtin. One game that's in the afternoon in the West Coast, Seattle Sounders, LA Galaxy, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, Seattle, LA. That's an interesting one. If Seattle continues on their win streak, they're going to continue to climb the standings. And if LA Galaxy slip again, well, it's not out of the realm of possibility to see LA Galaxy slip below the red line and maybe not even make the playoff, with Zlatan scoring 15 in a season, if not more.
Yeah, Zlatan making some comments this week that he's not particularly happy with the idea of playing on the turf. No one is, anyone that comes over from overseas, but it continues to don't get us going on that. And no, don't play the bumper, Kevin, because I don't want to get into it.
But, no, but it's easy to say. Do you complain when you're on the weather pitches in England? Well, not England, but other places. Yeah. Do you complain when you? No. So it's the same thing. Just because here you think it's, yeah. I'm done with this too.
It's perception is reality. Is ultimately my one line summary, my tagline of the entire turf debate. Perception is reality. It's not reality. It's not reality, though. It's not real, but it is. They perceive it to be real. So it doesn't matter how many times we talk about the studies not backing up the perception that it causes more injuries or what have you. The fact that it's in their head is what matters. So, but that said, also what is real is that Seattle is never moving out of that stadium. They fill it too often. So
yeah, and they're not going to change the pitch either. So you have to deal with it. So stop complaining, stop whining. It's the same for every single team. Just deal with it.
Yeah, no, precisely. The league is what it is. Every team has to deal with turf. Every team has to deal with travel. So, you can
He came here. He chose to come to Major League Soccer knowing this was going to be the case. Do you choose to go somewhere on vacation and then complain all the time you're there? If you do so, your vacations are pretty annoying and boring. So you choose to come here, deal with it. Like every other single player in this league, deal with it.
Yeah, I've traveled with someone before. Someone that went to Barcelona, and all they did was complain about tapas the entire time they were there. I mean, honestly, they were in Spain complaining about tapas.
More than one. Jeez, if you're still hungry, just order more. What's complicated here? It's great.
Also, it's pretty easy to understand that Spanish people eat that way. So you had to just read a single travel book. You have to read a single article on MLS to know that there's turf here. That's anyway.
Turf is like tapas. That's interesting.
And there you go. They both start with T anyway.
Yeah. Vancouver Red Bulls. That's a fascinating matchup as well tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. For me, it's Felipe versus his old team, yes. But what could be interesting, and I was mentioning this on the Canada FC show, is Felipe, tactically speaking, he was an important cog in Jesse Marsh's plan. They're moving away a bit from Jesse Marsh's tactics, but it's still present, and those players are still there. You still have the instincts of to play the way Jesse Marsh made this team play over the last 3 years and a half. So you do have the same blueprint, but Felipe is aware. How important is that for Vancouver to continue league way into another victory? The best game they had this year so far was last weekend in Portland with a 2-1 win on the road. If they continue with a win here, they might be setting themselves up for a push for the playoffs. But it's so close in the Western Conference that a defeat at home against the Red Bulls doesn't look good, though. So I'm not saying it's all or nothing on Saturday evening for Vancouver, but if you win, you keep yourself in the race. If you lose, you're behind.
It's going to be an interesting Canadian review on Monday, because I think there's an argument to be made that all three Canadian teams need result, right? That we can't afford to be dropping points here at this particular time in the schedule. Hashtag Robble Watch at this point. We saw the performance in the Voyageurs Cup. We talked about it at length on yesterday's show. We'll talk about it more on Two Solitudes for our Patreon subscribers, although we won't get as much into the details of the game in that show. We'll talk more on grand scheme of the tournament. But if they cough up another hairball, particularly after that, they need to perform. And if there continues to be sort of this disconnect, then at some point, if you're the Whitecaps ownership, which there's a lot of discontent about them as well, you might look at this as, it's what's the old adage, is that general managers or management or whoever, that they like to have that buffer of the coach for fans to be yelling at or for the media to be screaming for their heads. So if they get rid of them, then that buffer's gone. At this point, it is the trump card that they have to play, and that will buy them some more time to figure that side of things out. Because I don't think Robinson is, tactically, I think he needs to evolve a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
But he is a good communicator. He is liked by the players, so I that does matter. And I don't think they've given up on him. I just don't think that they have the pieces there. So I don't think he's the problem. But
a good communicator. In a way that he's really good at saying a lot without really saying anything.
Sure, yeah. He's charming in person.
He's a John Herdman of MLS. He'll answer your question by making you feel good, but not answering your question.
he looks at you, looks you straight in the eye, and he's got these piercing blue eyes too. Not to get into that, but he does. So you're like, you're mesmerized by this like weird forehead with these eyes staring you down, and the Welsh accent. It's all very disconcerting.
Montreal, Chicago tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Maybe the last time Bastian Schweinsteiger comes to Montreal. We'll see where Bastian plays, if he plays next year. Montreal, Chicago. Montreal can get rid of maybe one team in this playoff race with a result at home if they beat Chicago. And we'll address the Marchisio rumors in the news segment. Of course, an Italian player out of contract. Of course, he's going to be linked with Montreal. But Montreal Impact, with the debut of Bakary Sagna, he has been training the last few days in the starting 11 at left back. At right back to the right of Rod Fanny. We'll see if Rod Fanny is able to play. He wasn't playing last league game because of a little knock. He has been practicing, but it's still a bit questionable. If he can't play, there's a player that was one of the earliest acquisition in the offseason last year, Zakaria Diallo, who ruptures an Achilles tendon in the first week of training camp, is ready to come back and is ready to start if Fanny is not. So you can see a bit of a change in the defense, but Sagna will play. Michael Lazira will have more than 6 minutes for sure. And I wouldn't be shocked if Quincy Amariqua gets the start or maybe plays more than 23 minutes with what he has shown in the game last week. So Montreal-Chicago. Montreal, if they win against Chicago, Chicago could be even in a deeper hole.
Jesus, I forgot about that injury. You can't believe that much time has passed. That was
six months. Yes. He hasn't played a game for Montreal since he signed. 6 months. Yeah, that's that type of injury. And he suffered that injury before. And he was asked by a journalist from TV Aspa, Nicolas Immartino. He was asked, were you worried that this might be the end of your career? Because you had that type of injury before, you know, the time period that it takes to recover. And were you worried? He's like, I was worried. I can't say I wasn't concerned, but he wasn't worried. But he's back.
And good for him. And he looked pretty good, I remember, in preseason. So that's good. Senyon is going to, a lot of people are going to be looking at that, obviously. That's the star that's coming in. But how much influence can you really have on the, I mean, I guess the modern fullback, but is he still going to have that kind of pace, particularly in a league like this, coming in, you know, in essentially his preseason form at this point? So that's interesting. But I said a minute ago, This is the show it weekend, I think, for all three Canadian MLS teams. If they, you know, Montreal needs to get points against a weak Chicago team, they absolutely do. Toronto needs to, and we'll talk about them in a second probably, but they need to get a result against the worst team in the league. And Vancouver needs to bounce back from a very terrible midweek performance to prove that last weekend was what it was. Sorry, that the midweek was the outlier, not last weekend, right? So it's going to be a show me, not tell me weekend, I think, for the three Canadian teams.
Yeah, FC Dallas, Minnesota. That's an interesting one where FC Dallas want to continue to have a strong role in the Western Conference. Minnesota wants to put themselves in a playoff picture. It's on the road. FC Dallas is a bit difficult to win at home. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Sporting Kansas City, Portland, tomorrow 8:30 p.m. Eastern. This game is important as well to see who's in form and who's not. Was the game against Vancouver for Portland there? Their snap of their 15-game unbeaten streak was done because of Vancouver. Can Portland start a new one? SKC, without making a lot of waves, playing really well at a high level all season. Not too high, not too low, just constant, without making a lot of waves. And SKC could be one of the favorites to win the Western Conference, especially if they can get a result at home versus Portland.
They've been consistent all year. I mean, I know you picked them to win MLS Cup and you were getting excited there at the start of the year, but they have consistently been there, and particularly in a West that's pretty wide open. I think the West is better in 2018 than it was in 2017, but I still don't think it's quite as good as the top of the East. What I'm saying about that is that any team that can be consistent all year gives itself a good chance to get a lot of points and to potentially even host an MLS Cup final based on the fact that these teams are going to be beating each other up down the stretch, right? And I think in many ways the East is even stronger this year than it was last year, because I think Atlanta's better. I think the Red Bulls have been playing better. It's other than Toronto falling back, they've been pretty strong this year. So that's going to be an interesting battle royale at the top there, which would allow the possibility of a Western team potentially potentially upsetting and winning MLS Cup because they will have a weaker path to get through. It's a more parity path, but it's a weaker path.
Houston RSL tomorrow at 9 p.m. and the last game on Saturday in Major League Soccer, San Jose and TFC. I was asked this question.
Must win Saturday.
Well, yes, it's a must-win Saturday, but I was asked this question, Dwayne, and I'm going to ask it to you. Is San Jose the perfect team to play against when you need a victory? Because, 16 points so far this season.
I mean, other than the fact that it's been TFC's bogey team over the years in many ways, they have not particularly done well in San Jose. I remember Chad Barrett scoring a goal once there to lead them to victory, but we're talking about Chad Barrett. So
at Buckshot Stadium in like a minefield with like 8,000 seats surrounding it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he held up the corner flag like he had made some military celebration. It was weird. But that's how far you're really going back. I mean, this is infamously where, you know, in 2017 or 2016, pardon me, they lost to a nine-man team. So, you know, this has been a mess of a place for TFC. They played midweek. They've got to fly across the country on a day. They were literally – they had champagne in the dressing room, but I think they popped them and sprayed each other and then immediately started to get dressed to go home to get 2 hours sleep before they jumped on a plane. So this is – you know, there's challenges facing them, but yeah, they're so bad this year with just the three wins that must win Saturday. Hashtag must win Saturday.
And you know, so the TFC curse, usually a former player of TFC scores against TFC when they play against them. Quincy Amarico played shortly for TFC in 2010. He's not there anymore. He's in Montreal. But the other way around, Dominic Arturo now plays for San Jose, and there's a very high probability he makes his 2018 regular season debut. He hasn't played a minute for Montreal, and he's going to probably start the game for San Jose on Saturday. Do you think Dominic Arturo is going to score against his former team? I know it's easy to say because pretty much half the league is his former team by this point. When will Dominic Arturo score against his former team?
Yeah, Dominic Arturo, actually, Martin Bailey, I retweet his stuff all the time. He's a stats guy. He does work with Opta, I believe. But he presents us with stats all the time that are TFC specific because he's a TFC fan as well. And one of the stats he's provided, and this was on my request, was what player has played TFC the most as an opposing player, and it's not even close. Bernier is second, but it's Oduro, number one by a landslide, and he has scored more than a few goals against them over the years. I do believe he probably leads. I'd have to ask him again. He probably leads on the amount of goals scored against his, you know, TFC as well in terms of players, and that's not a player you'd expect, but he's just because he's played a lot of games against. He's been in the Eastern Conference a lot, too. So
yeah, but I remember seasons where he was playing for one team, example, and played Toronto a few times and get traded to another team where he played Toronto a few times more. So he played more than three games a year against the same teams just because he was getting traded. So there's that. Let's finish quickly with Sunday. Atlanta United, Columbus. It's an important game, and it isn't. Both teams are above fourth. Atlanta first, Columbus fourth. They all have buffers between each other, a lot of points. But I do feel Atlanta is going to get the things done. And here, the Columbus aspect to it is earlier this week, Anthony Precourt of Precourt Sports Ventures made a comment when he was in Austin, and the city council approved the MLS stadium proposition 7-4. And he made a very quick press conference saying, yeah, we're going to give more info, but yes, MLS is going to come to Austin. And then there's a Columbus journalist. What do you say to Columbus fans? We'll have a comment shortly. What would you do? We'll talk about it later. Okay, bye. That was basically the gist of his press conference. But Atlanta, Columbus, Saturday, Sunday at 4 p.m.
Austin's going to be everyone's least favorite team in Major League Soccer next year. They're going to get booed everywhere they go by the hardcore supporters. It's just I'm exhausted by this. I've said this a long time ago that quote unquote the San Jose solution is maybe the way that MLS can kind of find its way out of this. And at this point, based on what Precourt said, on the fact that Austin has voted for this, and it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch that team next year, because I just don't believe in that market at all. I think it's a silly play there. He's basically moving a team, an established team, from a market that, you know, has a core that comes and goes depending on a lot of factors, whether how too successful the team is. And you're right, it's not, it's a 96 team and it has 96 problems. He's moving into the exact same market, just in Texas. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, we belabored that one to death, and maybe we'll talk to some Columbus fans down the road again. But
we got 96 problems, and Austin is one. DC yeah. United, New England. That matchup is fascinating. Can DC get their third straight victory this week? And if they do so, beating New England, climb themselves all the way back to 27 points and maybe in the playoff discussion by winning those games in hand. And that's the interesting factor. Wayne Rooney has been on fire the last couple of games. And against New England, in DC, in Audi Field, that has been rocking. The atmosphere is back with the re-inclusion of the supporters. It does make a difference. And DC United, I think, is a favorite in that game by a landslide.
Yeah, and here lies your dilemma if you're a TFC fan, to be a little TFC specific here. Even if they win, you've got like Chicago and Montreal playing each other. You've got this game with DC and New England. So there's points are going to be getting there. So you're climbing up a moving target, and that's always going to be difficult. But yeah, DC right now, you know, those games in hand, surprising, and they're rolling. Only -2 on the goal dip too. That's usually what I look at to try and handicap when I'm looking at teams that are around that angle. And if they have a good goal diff and their points are lower, then I sometimes, this is a very simple way to handicap. You can sort of go, okay, maybe they're underperforming a little bit based on their actual performance, their actual results are underperforming what their play is. So the fact that DC is only a -2 on the goal diff suggests to me that this is a team, now that they have Rooney and are rolling, yeah, they're going to keep going. And look, I don't think anyone's going to want to play them in the playoffs either.
Nope.
So this is an interesting story right now.
If they make it there. And the last game of the weekend, LAFC in Colorado. LAFC, with a win, will continue to maintain their position in the Western Conference standing. With a loss, nothing is too far-fetched. It's so close in the West that they can drop below that red line with a few bad results.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the West is wide open on the playoff race all the way down to Minnesota's still in it, too. I think Minnesota's at their level. They're kind of like the Philadelphia. It's just the level for them is a little lower in terms of the teams around them. So yeah, I think down to 8, though, that's a battle royale, and then they can go pretty much even to the top, right? Like, Seattle's only 10 points behind Dallas at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to rein that in, but it's not out of the question either. I mean, they've reined in longer. They were 19 points down in
July,
the end of July and made the playoffs 2 years ago
and won the MLS Cup. Yeah, we'll take a very small break. When we come back, we'll preview quickly the Premier League and do a little news segment.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
Match day 2 of 38. In the Premier League, and there's a few interesting matchups. I always am careful calling this a derby, but I guess it's a London derby. Chelsea Arsenal tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You have another kind of London derby: Tottenham Fulham, Leicester Wolves, West Ham Bournemouth, Cardiff Newcastle, Everton Southampton, Burnley Watford, Man City Huddersfield. Just send the 3 points, it'll be easier than just traveling to Man City. But what catches the attention with Man City right now is Kevin De Bruyne. We were worried earlier this week when he left training with a knee injury. Turns out that it's a pretty significant one. We'll miss the next 3 months of play.
I mean, City has the depth to deal with that, obviously, but that's a significant blow nonetheless, because he is, you know, they have the depth, but he is their best player. You know, when I include Aguero, I include all of their stars in that. De Bruyne, to me, if he had had a full season, had the chance to win, you know, Player of the Year in the Premier League and perhaps even be in the conversation for Ballon d'Or. That's not going to happen now, and this is an unfortunate blow. And we'll see. You know, he's out 3 months, but it's a knee injury, so it's probably going to be 5 before you start to see him significantly. significantly contributing again. You know, David Silva was out with an injury last week. He'll come back in. He'll fill in that creative role there. He's still, even though he's getting older, he's still a significant contributor there. There's still time in the transfer window, too. I mean, hey, maybe they can go and try and squeeze Inter for Modric money there. You never know. I'm dreaming now, but you're dreaming. Nonetheless.
You're dreaming, but it could happen. And I still don't believe Inter got that money anyways. They don't have 750 million euros. But that's
I'm not going to lie. It's the first thing that crossed my mind. When I heard De Bruyne's out, it's like, well, flex the money. You know, he seems to want out of Real Madrid, so why don't you put that in?
When a ship sinks, everyone leaves. To not call them rats, but that's what happens when a ship sinks.
But the Liga starts this weekend too, so you know, briefly on that, I think that there's something to not just the fact that there's some problems with the owner, like the president there, but beyond that, and there's always problems with the president at Barcelona and Real Madrid. there just is. It's just there's so much politics involved. Like there's always drama. I think in this particular case, they're also bored. These players are kind of bored, so they're ready for a new challenge.
Speaking of a new challenge, well, we have as well Brighton Man United on Sunday, Burnley Watford Sunday, and Crystal Palace Liverpool on Sunday. You do have a big rumor right now. Marquisio is leaving Juventus after 25 years. And as the world turns, Italian, free agent, he's linked to Montreal.
Yeah. I mean, that's just how it works.
That's how it works. And we'll see if he's a type of player that can fulfill what the Impact needs. He's probably not the pure striker that Montreal was looking for, but that player of that level could come in, but it doesn't necessarily help the retirement league connotation that we sometimes see. But he could have a few months, a year and a half of good soccer left in him to contribute. We'll see if it's something that happens. I doubt it. In my mind, Marquisio's profile is money demands will be a bit too high, but who knows?
That would be a Joey play. Yeah, you would write like that's dreams of that. Like he's done. Joey is, God love him. He's basically why there's an MLS team in Montreal, so no one will ever take that away. But he is the Jerry Jones of maybe not with the the stupid political side of things, but the meddling side of things of his team of MLS in many ways that he laid. Well, the Portland, there's other owners like this, but and I think Joey has stepped back in the last couple of years, but this is something that 3 or 4 years ago I absolutely could have seen him going, yeah, we're gonna do this, and then suddenly you get this like old Italian guy that you have to work into your system.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's always a possibility. Italian player getting linked to Montreal. Who knows if it happens? And he's a free agent. That's why it could be possible. But with the amount of games left, the position of Montreal, already the signing of Sagna, Ameriqua, and Azira, those trades and the signing, I think it's not going to happen. I see it more signing for Bologna. If you feel Joey Saputo is going to do it, maybe he's going to do it for his Italian team. Then he's helped too. So very similar situation.
And that would make more sense for the player too, I would think, than to come over to a new challenge at this point in his career. And
for nine games,
if you really want to deal with this, yeah, go play for a low level Italian team, and people are still going to love you there, and they're going to embrace you, and you're going to know the culture, and you're going to know the league. It makes more sense all around.
And make sure that you make sure Bologna's out of that relegation battle, and that could be probably where they stand. All right, hope you enjoyed this weekend preview. We'll be back Monday with an interesting Canadian review. All Canadian teams in Major League Soccer has the onus of result this weekend. And when we say result, we mean wins. They need wins. Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto need wins to make sure they're still in the playoff race. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back Monday with another edition of Soccer Today. The Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for patrons only will be available probably in the next few hours or earlier tomorrow morning at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month give you access to this Canadian soccer exclusive show. And as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.